our brother was sharing, John, in regards to some of the teaching and some of the things that we talked about. And so I hope to be able to bring it to you today in a way that we can kind of understand it. I think you will. It's nothing very deep, but I think it's the things of the times that we're in. And two things that came across my thoughts on Thursday was the word desensitizing and then the word filter. And I said, okay, Lord, desensitizing and filter. Now, you can go out there and just do some kind of perusing on the web of things of desensitizing of violence, desensitizing of moralities, desensitizing of anything out there in the natural. You begin to read and you can find out studies and things that are out there that it's a thing that's happening. And I think what really got me going on this too was the thought, the first part of the week I had the privilege of watching one of my granddaughters, and I said, okay, you want to watch some TV? Yeah, Grandpa. So I open up the thing, and we see all the things on there, and of course, Disney Plus. Okay, you want to watch something on Disney Plus? Yeah, Grandpa. Go to that. And she is watching different things, and I said, okay, I went to the archives, because I'm an old man. There's a lot of new stuff out there, but I went, let's go back in history. And so I went back, and I said, hey, let's watch The Jungle Book. And so I flip it up there, and it starts its presentation and the music and all, and I'm busy doing things, blah, 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 blah. And then it's kind of quiet, you know, or whatever, I don't know, but I'm thinking, well, why is it not going? Why is it just so much going on? And I looked up from it, and I caught it just as about the time it flashed off. But I began to read this disclaimer that was out there from Disney on this particular episode or this show, The Jungle Book. And it was kind of like an apologetic thing about, we're sorry, but the things that are portrayed in this are not right. I'm paraphrasing. You'd have to go online and look at it, but it's out there. It's not right, and now we know better, and we should be better. I'm thinking, The Jungle Book? What happened there? And it's just bizarre. Just go out there and look up some of that stuff. And it's like the things that people think that they think is being portrayed. And I think what I find a lot of it is, it's a lot of the adults in some of these committees and boards on some of these media things now, they want to make everything whitewashed. And they some of the things is these people read more into these things than really what's in them because they're looking for things to tear apart. And they're looking for things that go, that could be offensive. Oh, that sound that's being talked of like that of the gorilla, that sounds like that of maybe an African American or something like that, you know. And I'm thinking, what have we as a society, where have we come or where are we going? I know where we've come from. I want to tell you, I as a kid watched a lot of these shows, a lot of these cartoons, and I'm starting to think, oh my goodness, what about the Wile E. Old Coyote and the Roadrunner? That is showing and portraying violence and killing and dynamite and blowing. And now they would say, yeah, see, yeah, that coyote's putting that dynamite there. That's a roadside bomb, and the kids are going to do that, and they're going to blow up everything, blah, 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 blah. It's ridiculous stuff. It's a cartoon. It's imaginary. Today, we've got a society that has no longer been able to imagine with their mind. They see it now portrayed more and more on, especially now you get into the areas of desensitizing violence, and it goes back to video games and shooting and killing on the video games that has desensitized kids that they really don't care for life anymore. And they think sometimes they shoot this person. Well, okay, when they reset their video game, guess what? That person jumps up and they're ready to be played again. Well, we know in real life, right, Paul, that when you shoot somebody dead, they don't come back to life. Well, gee, go figure that out. But these kids have been, through video gaming, have been desensitized to the violence. Well, then I began to think, well, okay, was it just the kids with video games about the lacking value for life? No. It goes back to us adults that allowed abortion, because with abortion, we show that we don't value life in the womb. We don't value life no matter when. We've got things now that if the child is even born, and there's some things out there that And the parent, or, well, I don't know if we, the child bearer doesn't want them, that sometimes there are stories out there that years back or sometime back, they would take the baby and just set it off to the side until it would eventually die because they didn't want the child. So now the child has come through the whole process of the trimesters, been born, and we as a society can say, I don't want the child. And we get our government, and we get those, I don't know, I don't want to get too rattled up into this, but it just gets me going. But we get where people are concerned about violence and the taking of life and all these things, and it's like, but yet we got a government, we got a society out there that says it's okay to take life in this area, but not in this area. And that's picking and choosing what suits you. And now we have got a society out there that whatever I feel is right, I should be able to do, right? If it hurts Paul or hurts you or you're offended by it, I don't care. It's me for me, what I want to do. Just suck it up, buttercup. You know, this is what I want to be, you know. You've got to allow it. No, there should be, and there were at times, standards in our country, standards that founded upon that of the Bible that we are missing today, right? I'm not telling you guys anything new. We've seen this happening. But when I saw this thing on Disney Plus, and then I'm reading these things, and then Thursday, thinking about desensitizing, to make insensitive or non-reactive to a sensing agent. Here it is, to make insensitive or non-reactive. We have gotten to a point in our society that we have desensitized a lot of the population from whatever age on up to where we're non-reactive to it now. It's just, it is what it is. Violence happens, catastrophes happen, and it's so prevalent. Every day we see so much of it, and that's part of that desensitizing. The more that you see anything, you become really unmoved by it, right? Desensitizing is basically, I'm unmoved by it. I can see it, and I go, oh, well, just another day in America. It's just a half. What's different? Nothing, because we see so much of whatever it is that those out there that want to try to get us to just no longer pay attention. Whether it's through that of violence, whether it's that through moralities, whether it's that through our genders, whether it's that through whoever, that we want to just desensitize, make people to the point of this, non-reactive. And the problem is the church has been very good at this, non-reactive. We've been non-reactive to all this, and it was a little blurb on our screen that we thought, well, that's not a problem, that's not a problem, that's not a problem. And then we go 25 or 30 or 40 or 50 years. 8775300. Oh, that's a song. We go through 20, 30, 40 years, right, Paul? And all of a sudden we're hitting at it going like, hey, this happens to be a problem now, guys. When did this happen? Well, little by little, being non-reactive, being desensitized to whatever it is, it takes any kind of a flavor out there. I'm sorry? Distracted? Yeah. Yeah, to get you focused off of something. So this is happening. You know, and that's part of our media, part of our... I love watching old shows. I was raised on old shows, and it didn't do me harm. I watched Superman fly. I realized that, no, you're not going to stand in front and allow somebody to shoot a bullet at you, and you're going to stop it. I don't care. I had a towel wrapped around my neck, and I flew. My arms were out. I'm flying. When I stopped, I stopped. But that was all imaginary. That was all building your thoughts and just playing it in your head. But for some reason, back then, we understood and realized and knew that that was just makeup. Batman, Robin, the Green Hornet. Media is part of the cause. I think I've got that in here somewhere, and we're probably jumping around in all this now. But you got the print media, you got the media on TV, the sitcoms, the movies, Hollywood. You got the government, you got agencies, you've got groups. But I'm still going to sing, the earth is filled with his glory. Because I'm not going to bow to that. I'm not going to allow the things that the devil, the god of this world, Satan, is wanting to put all this out there. And he's even wanting the people in the church to look at it and take, like this young lady said here, the focus, take our focus off of him onto these things. And to the point of, well, we got to keep our eyes focused on God. And also be aware of what's going around us. But also hold things up in prayer. The most important thing that as a child of God, as a church can be, is that of prayer. We have taken it to the point where prayer just seems like, bless this food, thank you for it, amen. No, prayer is pray for your government, pray for your nation, pray for your police, pray for your military, pray for the schools, pray for the churches, pray for your neighbors, pray for your families, pray for the singles, pray for the married. Pray, pray. What? Pray. That's all God has asked us to do is to intercede for these people. He didn't tell Tim, you pray and you solve the problem. No, God says, you pray, I've got the problem solved because I've got the answer. Amen? God's got the answer. We just got to pray for him to know that we release it to him so that we say, Lord, come into this situation. Lord, take this. Lord, help me now. He has not asked us to go out and to change it to the point of physically getting into it. And, well, there's a part of that through supports and prayers and voting and things of that nature. But we've gotten to the point, even our political end of it, that desensitizes to the point where we people that should be of values, we go, why should I vote? It doesn't make a difference. Well, there's no candidate that's perfect out there. Well, God has already told us that no man is without sin in this life except who? Back in the day, Jesus. So the enemy points it in, or plants it in us that, well, you can't pray for that person because look at this past, look at that. Well, they're not totally all that. Well, they're this or they're that. No. You look as easy and as best as you can on three, I always tell people, two or three values. And I look at all the candidates on the moralities and where they stand. I don't care about their taxes. I don't care about their health care. I don't care about this. I care about what they believe in life. I believe in what they believe in as far as of the sanctity of life. Now, if they're on a platform and they're saying, I'm for the unborn, and then they get on there and they do some crazy things, and they're saying, well, you voted for them. I voted with that because of what they had said. Their blood is on their hands. You know, not on my hands. God will be the ultimate judge, okay? But see, we have become a desensitized population, and that they're figuring the more and more that they can have people not get involved, it only takes a small minority of those that are wanting to flip the things in this nation, the things of morality, it only takes a small majority of them, minority of them, and pretty soon it's accomplished. So the Merriam-Webster says, to make insensitive or non-reactive to a sensitizing agent, to make emotionally insensitive or callous. Many people today, churches out there, people that are not even the churches, even the general populace, there's a lot of people out there, they're emotionally insensitive, they're emotionally calloused. And we know one thing that happens when you get calloused, you don't have any feeling or sensation. You know, when you do hard work and no gloves and you get calluses on your hand, it hurts for a while, right? But you build up those calluses and then eventually it doesn't hurt anymore because they're toughened. Well, for that, that's good. But if we have a calloused individuality of a human nature of us, if we become calloused in our thoughts and our beliefs, then we are on the wrong path. We can see all kinds of hell break loose around us and we could care less. Some of us have gotten that way. It's like, well, it's out there and that's out there, but it's not in here and I'm not going to worry about it. Well, that's a bad attitude and that's not the right attitude to have. The Cambridge Dictionary says this, it's to cause someone to experience something, usually an emotion or a pain, less strongly than before. So, back in the 50s, the 60s, and the 70s, the commercials that were out there was very... I don't know what to say. They couldn't show certain things, body parts and things, or they had to be pretty well undercover or, you know, whatever. And now you can go and turn, I don't care. Now anytime during the day, in the evening, you can sit there as a family and you've got commercials that come on that pretty well do not leave anything to the imagination of anything and the appearance of a person, male or female, or whatever the case might be. Not only the appearance, but also the subject matter, hello? the things that they talk about, the things that they say, you're going, oh my gosh. And then you got little Johnny or little Susie going, Daddy, Mommy, what is that? Now, the sad thing is, little Johnny and little Susie, they say, Dad, Mom, do you know what that is? Because this is what I got, I heard this at school the other day. What? They bring it home to us. Because it's that part out there where that's part of our society that is changing the thought process of people. Where does it begin? Education. And it's not just elementary. It's in high schools. It's in big learned institutions or colleges now. We had many colleges that were Christian founded that are no longer Christian oriented or based on Christianity. They're based on new thoughts, new ways, new revelations, and this is the way we need to do it. Many of the foreign areas, and I'm not a scholar, I'm not a studier of this, but in history and things, of a nation that wanted to, of leadership in a nation that wanted to change, or a group in a nation that wanted to change the society, is they began it in the educational system to begin to brainwash or reset the thinking to desensitize the kids. And they're just waiting for us old people that have some commonality of understanding of this is not right. They're waiting for all of us to die off. And then what's going to be left behind us? These poor kids that have been desensitized, reprogrammed to think this is the way it's supposed to be. But I believe God's got a plan. And I believe it's not over until it's over. Amen. And as a father, as a grandfather, as a pastor, and you as whoever you are and whatever you're feeling, you have the strength, you have the power, you have the call upon you as a follower of Christ to pray for all of these areas and for God's will to be prevailing and to stand strong. Amen. Amen. Woo! Hallelujah, Lord. Glory to God. So I don't want to speak a message of doom and gloom, but I'm just saying we've got to be paying attention because you've got to know where these things are at in life so that you know how to pray. So if we would look at this, if we look at America, we could say that it has been accomplished through various medias, news, movies, TV programs, music. It's through all levels of education. And dare I even say this, some of our desensitizing has even gone into guess where? The church, through our churches. See, it's a multi-front attack on human behavior as we should know it. Human as people, as how we should live a life, how we should care, how should we take care of things, how should we grow and develop and help one another. It's an attack on all fronts, guys. And now, you know, it wasn't there. But it's always been there. But it's getting more and more prevalent even in our churches to where much of the morality things out there have now gone into our churches to where we got high denominational thoughts out there that says any of these lifestyles are fine because God is a loving, caring God. Yes. But somehow they forgot where the sin falls in at with God. We may get there where the scriptures in Galatians and different places and 1 Corinthians, I think, it talks about where things of these areas will not inherit the kingdom, where these things are sin to that of God. See, we have, it's bad enough that society and out there, they don't want to call sin what it is, but we have churches now that don't want to call sin what sin is because we don't want to offend these people. We want to make people feel happy and welcome. I want to make people feel welcomed here. I want them to say, hey, come in and feel the love of Christ. But just like me, we all need to change, and I'm still changing. How about you? But I'm being changed, and I'm probably not going to get there now with where we're at, but it's enough on this desensitizing thing. Then maybe next week it's the filter. I'm being changed, you're being changed by that of a filter. God has a filter for us. But we got to know when to use the filter, and we got to remember that we need to stay with the filter. And I tell you, we've got to probably figure out what filter we're going to use. Amen? Because there's a filter of the world, there's a filter of man, there's a filter of God. And so we've got a choice to make. Even though God, even in our very foundational beginning with him, he says, choose this day who you shall what? Serve. You'll either serve me or you're going to serve the devil. So people don't believe that. They just think I can serve myself and I'm doing fine. Well, no, you're serving the devil. So we got to choose God or choose Satan. And many times when we're in the world and the world's ways of things, we begin to see that we are being filtered by that of Satan, because he's the god of this world. That's why we see so many things changing and going down the tubes. So I think we need to at least look at this a little bit. We are being bombarded in all directions at every age level of slowly being desensitized to some very basic understandings that a people or a society should be adhering to, but we're slowly being redirected and, dare I say, reprogrammed to begin thinking differently. Back in Isaiah 5:20, regards to justice, impending justice, God's disappointing vineyard, all of these things. But in Isaiah 5, I just want to pull out where it says in verse 20, "Woe to those who call what? Evil good and good evil. Who put darkness for light and light for darkness. They will even put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." So, in Isaiah 5:20, we just read that, and I was in the right place there. Woe to those who call evil good. Now, we're seeing a lot of that, right? Good, bad, bad, good. Light is light. Light is dark. Dark is light. Bitter is sweet. Sweet is bitter. That's this whole desensitizing things. In the footnotes here of a New Living that I've got, it says this: when people see no distinction between good and evil, destruction soon follows. It is easy for people to say no one can decide for anyone else what is really right or wrong. They may think getting drunk can't hurt them. Extramarital sex isn't really wrong. Our money doesn't control them. But when they make excuses for their actions, they break down the distinction between right and wrong. But they are making excuses for their actions. They break down the distinction between right and wrong. If people, here you go, do not take God's word, and God's word is what? The Bible, as their standard, soon all moral choices become fuzzy, and without God, they are headed for a breakdown and much suffering. Hello, hello, hello. If people do not take God's word, that of the Bible, as their standard, we have no longer, we talk about God has a standard, right? His word. And many times we find in even our church world that the world standard is always going to be, should always be below the church's standard if the church is following God's standard. And we find a slippery slope many times. And it's not just, you know, the church. It could be other standards and things out there. It could be the media, paper, all these things. We just look, but our standards that we want to maintain, instead of allowing the world to say, no, you need to rise, we begin to lower our standards. But as long as we are like one or two steps ahead of them on the downside, sliding down the slope, we feel okay with ourselves. And it said, oh, comparison. Oh, well, at least we're not as bad as that. God's word tells you, don't compare yourself with others around you. If you're going to compare yourself, we need to compare ourselves with the word of God and what the word of God stands for and how is it reflected in our life. And is my life reflecting God's word? And am I continuing to rise to raise to the level of God's standard? I never want to pray, God, lower your standard so that America is better. No, it's like, Lord, your standard is there and it's set and it'll never move because God's word says I change not. I'm the same God yesterday, today, and forever. These standards, these things that are in his word are not going to change no matter how much man, society, church, denominational, leaderships, organizations, Christian colleges, you name it, seminaries that are teaching new pastors coming out, no matter how many want to try to downgrade or change a little bit of the word of verbiage of God's commands and what he says is good and what he says is bad, it's not going to change the actual of what God's about. God stands as God, and he changes not. God's word stands, and it doesn't change to make a society feel better. Its word does not change to make a church feel better. God's word doesn't change to make an individual Christian feel better. As a Christian or a Christ follower, following Jesus, I am the one that needs to change daily to replicate, to exemplify, to show, to copy that of what Jesus, my Lord and Savior. a man that knew no sin became sin. So those that had sin could have what? No sin. That's God's master plan. And it has not changed, and it will not change. So when we look at this in Isaiah, if you look in the areas of verse 20, woe, and that's what we just looked at. Woe to those who call evil good, good evil, evil good, and good evil, who put darkness for light, light for darkness, bitter for sweet, sweet for bitter. That is where we begin to see the moral subversion. Here in God's Word, way back in the Old Testament, way back in Isaiah, he's telling the folks back then and the judgments and that of Israel and those that are there, these are the things that you've got to stand for, that you have got to be careful. Because this stuff is going to slip in. Now, we find that, you know, God's Word is so rich in helping us, right? Aren't you glad that God just didn't say, these are what I want you to do, and now you figure out how to do it. God tells you these are the things he wants you to do, and he says, here's how you're going to do it. But he's also going to say, these are the warnings that you've got to have so that these things don't creep in or creep into the whole mix. The old leaven, a little leaven, leavens the whole mix. All these things, all of these warnings that he's got out there, that if we just keep ourselves trained up, taught by that of his word that changes not, we will be able to see what's going on in a society, what's going on in a nation, what's going on globally, you name it, all of these things, to be aware of what's going on so we are not surprised. Amen. Hallelujah. We as a church, when I hear the news, see the news, weird things going on, and it's like, oh my goodness, it does not surprise me. It saddens me. But it doesn't surprise me because God's word says in the last days, rumors of wars and earthquakes and pestilence and things and fires and oh, these things are happening. Now we got a, 24-hour news cycle. Some of these news cycles, I think they got like a 32-hour news cycle. It's just like always. So we're aware of so many things going on and we're seeing and hearing of all these situations. And you know, we have a serious situation happening with somebody in a shooting. And all these commentators and all these psychologists, and we need to find out. We need to find who that was and arrest them. And then we need to find out, why did they do that? What has caused them to do that? Was it their upbringing? Could have been. A lot of variable factors in there. But I've said this in the past. I said, I can cut to the chase and tell you why those things happen, because I go to my God, into his word, and it says evil. Evil is in this place. Any one of us, if we don't pay attention and watch ourselves, the enemy could come in with like a little leaven, and he could slowly change us, slowly get us going to the point that I believe even in some instances, you could maybe, this is kind of crazy and far-fetched, maybe you could become a mass killer, I don't know. But I'm just saying, if you allow the evil of this world to keep coming in and layering on, not seeing anything different, it's just, oh well, I'm callous to it, I'm insensitive to it, that's just the way of life, that we, anyone, if we don't stay strong with God by that of the Holy Spirit in us, you guys better have the Holy Spirit in you. You better have the Holy Spirit actively in your life daily, hourly, every second to lead you, guide you, teach you the truth, guard you from all lies. Churches take the Holy Spirit out because we don't understand him, so we don't want nothing to do with him, but we profess that it's the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. That God I know, Jesus I know. Oh, wait, that's something else. But who are you? Well, now, see, that's probably now one of our filters. I just spilt the beans. The Holy Spirit. But as a society, these things happen so little, so gradual. Now, let's look, that's in the Old Testament. Let's just go to 2 Timothy 4. In 2 Timothy 4, verse 3. Everybody there yet? I want you to read it. You need to read this stuff. Don't just listen to me. Turn your Bibles and turn to that page. Read it. Something about seeing it for your own eyes and getting it into your brain. 2 Timothy 4, 3 to 5. What's it start out with? We begin about the heading of preaching the word. It tells us that he's charging us, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. And it goes in verse 2, and this is where it says, preach the word. Man, I tell you what, I'm challenged and charged with as a pastor to stand before you, and I did not want this. Somehow God called me, and I was, well, now I'm glad. But I was willing to say, here I am. Sounds like fun. Let's do it. But it says this, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. It's going to be a hard road to go, right? With long-suffering. Oh, my goodness. But we got to rebuke. We got to convince. We got to exhort. But it says, and this is where it's at, for what? For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. This is talking people that had the word. People that have had the word. People that know that of God. Know what Jesus was about. The message of the cross. The message of what Paul and all of this, disciples, what they were sharing with these different communities and different cities and towns. But it's a time when people will endure. They will no longer, they will not endure. Why is that? Why do people no longer want sound doctrine, but they want their own desires because they have itching ears? The enemy gets in there. That little leaven, he gets in there and he says, do you really want to try to follow all that? Well, what about that scripture that God loves all? And he desires that none shall go to hell. People take that thinking like, yeah, that's right. Well, God says he desires none will go, so nobody's going to hell because he said no. You got to read all that stuff through, and it talks about Jesus being the door and the way and the way through and all these things. But even in our churches, and see, this is where the eroding comes, is that because many of our times in our orders of the church in generalities, we've become insensitive, or we've kind of shut ourselves in and say, well, let's just take care of this group here, and as long as I keep you guys built up and strong, it'll be okay. Well, no, we've got to be aware of those things that are happening outside, because you'll see a slide up here in our opening presentations, and because we have like a Sunday morning and a Thursday morning, we got Sunday school, but we got like basically two opportunities every week to speak something of the Word of God or come together as a group, as a church, as a study, to put something in your spirit, that of God. And at this point in time, I think the sign or the thing up there said this morning, this church, John, First Thursdays, we only have 19 more days. 19 more days to put the Word of God into you to help you through this life. That's not a lot, considering you're out in the world. How many times? So just look, and 19 as I've counted Sundays, just every Sunday. There's only like 19 Sundays left of this year. Can you believe that? Wow. I just counted the other day on the calendar. It's like 16 days till fall. Shh. Who said that? Shh. Bad. You scared me. I thought our air conditioner compressor went out. Oh, no. We can't afford that. But I mean, time is going. And as it gets closer, it's going faster. The older you get, the faster it goes. But that's the thing of, you know, if the church is somewhat charged with trying to build a family of strength and on God's word and to be cautious and to come together and to be aware, and God's word says this, and God's word, and holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. They don't realize the glory of the Lord is out there, whatever the case is. So we've got a very limited time to try to drop in some very powerful things for a life to be changed, for your life to stay changed, for your life to be able to grow and keep strong in the things of God. Do you believe that? Yes. And you're out there. I'm out there just like you guys. I've only got 19 times and whatever. And I'm out in there in the world as well. And I know a lot of it is take your own studies, do your own Bible reading, do your things every day and all that. That is good. And we want to do that. We need to do that. But to come together as a corporate body like God says to come, gather together with like faith people, hear the word, pray for one another, encourage one another, cry if we need to cry, laugh if we need to laugh, build up the body of Christ. Amen? So when we look at this, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Paul bases his urgent appeal on the fact that people will prefer fables to truth. See, I remember back in the days when we were kids and we watched cartoons and Disney and all, those were fables. Those were stories. Those weren't real, guys. Somebody was telling me, too, that Disney was saying, like, when they redid the Snow White and the Seven Dwarves, that they didn't want to have all the dwarves in there because that was disrespectful to little people. They didn't want to hurt people's feelings. And this person told me that then some of the dwarf organization, they got kind of upset, thinking like, that's when we can work, when they put us into these movies. That's who we are. We are, you know, what do you want to call it? You know, little people, you know, little people, dwarves, midget, whatever. You're so scared, you don't even know what to tell people anymore, like, you know, who they are or what their stature or whatever the case might be. But we see these things slowly just changing, and it's usually when that thing changes for this group, it affects the group that they're trying to help, or it affects another group. Have you ever seen that? Like, we're changing it this way, but now these people are upset. And that's the thing. People, you got to realize you're not going to please everybody. But if everybody would walk in love, amen? Walk in love, walk in forgiveness, walk in compassion like that of Jesus, we wouldn't have to worry about all of these things out there of, I'm offended, I'm upset, you call me this, I didn't say that, you didn't think that, you looked the other way. No, just walk in love, compassion, and forgiveness of the things that God has wanted us to do. Many of these things would be corrected, I believe. 1 Corinthians 3:18. This is just kind of looking at things of how, as a church, as a people, we've got to stay and guard ourselves of these things. But these are some things as desensitizing and what God's word is saying, how we can watch and be careful that we don't fall into these things. 1 Corinthians 3:18 says, let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in his age, let him become a fool that he may become wise. In the Amplified, let me read it through it this way. Avoid, in the title of one of my Bibles said this, avoid worldly wisdom. See, and that's what we are being indoctrinated with is what? The world's ways. Worldly wisdom. In God's word, who does God say the God of this world is? Satan. So we're allowing the worldly ways, worldly wisdom, the God of this world is Satan. And so God is telling us that avoid the wisdom of this world, guys. And it says this, let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you thinks or seems, if anyone among you seems to be wise, the Amplified would say this, thinks to be wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may become wise. Let him become a fool, this become a fool is this, discarding his worldly pretensions and acknowledging his lack of wisdom. Let him become a fool. And that's telling you this, be wise in this age. Let him become a fool. Let the one who deceives himself, if anyone is among you, seems or thinks to be wise in this age, let him become a fool. We need to become a fool. When we become that fool, it says discarding his worldly pretensions and acknowledging his lack of wisdom. That's what the Amplified says. And that he may become wise, are truly wise. When we become foolish or we become unlearned of the things of this world, actually we become wise because we become wise of what it was saying here, avoid worldly wisdom. If we're going to avoid worldly wisdom, what wisdom are we going to gain? We're going to go kingdom wisdom. Hello, God's kingdom wisdom upon this earth, in our life, in our society or whatever, would make a whole lot more sense and make a whole lot of things go better, don't you think? If we just lived as kingdom kids, I'm a kingdom child. Hallelujah. That's why I look at these things. That's why I say, oh, the glory of the Lord is risen. It's a glorious thing. Because when I look at these things, I look at it as I am in God's kingdom. I'm a kingdom child. I'm a kingdom kid. I'm here for a purpose. I'm here for a season, forever, whatever it is, for God to use me. But we're going to proclaim and pronounce and shout from these tops of the house or from the speaker of the microphone about the Word of God and what the Word of God is for and what God says stay away from, what God says get with, what God says how to live your life. These are the things that we need to proclaim on a daily basis so that we get into a better and a more, I feel I'm blessed, even in this time of where we're at, okay? I feel God loves me. I know He loves me. I'm a blessed child of God. I get frustrated when bills go up. I get frustrated when the water bill goes up. I get frustrated. But after a while, I've learned that this is all God's, and I'm a child of God, and He will make a way for me. Amen? I stay attuned to Him. I stay actively serving Him. Has He taken care of you? He has taken care of me, guys. So when things raise and all that, I could get upset like the world. Oh, I can't believe what they're raising this high. And I do. But then all of a sudden I say, Tim, you got to not live in this world. You got to know who your source is. My source is that of God. He owns a lot of cattle, owns a lot of things on hills. He owns all kinds of stuff, and He can make a way where there seems to be no way. He can stretch a dollar. I know that my God, and we had a message a long time back, I said, much is little is much when God is in it. Living by His standards, going through Proverbs. When all else is going wrong in our society and all that, I could be doom and gloom, but I'm looking at the glory of the Lord. Rise upon me, let the glory of the Lord rise. Let it shine. Let it do whatever, Lord, but I walk in the glory of God. We are the light and the dark. The only way you can be a light in the dark is you've got to be different. Light is different than dark. Dark is different than light. If we're the children of light, we've got to be different. We've got to march to a different drum. We've got to look at things differently. We've got to look at things in a positiveness that knowing who I am in Christ, who I am serving, that Jesus Christ is my Lord. Now, I'm getting too excited today. Are you denying what's going on? I'm not denying anything that's going on in this crazy world. But I'm just going to say, I'm not fixated on this world. I am fixated on my God, on who He says He is, on what He says I am, and that He's never going to leave me, and that He's there with me. Amen. Okay, that's enough for today. I'm just going to go and finish out. This is just getting me in. This is just talking about desensitizing and things and being aware of all this. Oh, I'm going to tell you, the next time we talk about the filter, oh, the filter is wonderful. Wow. My. You'll have to come back for the filter. Ooh, Jesus. Remember a few weeks back we talked about we're gems and jewels to Him. We're a special treasure to Him. I hope you're still pumped up on that. Don't go with what the world says you are. I'm a child of God. I'm serving Him. He's my God. My God says that I'm a special treasure. I'm going to believe. Who am I going to believe? The world or who am I? God. I'm going to believe God. Amen? Ephesians 2, 1 through 3. I'll just read it here on my paper. And you have been made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin. And you He made alive. Thank you, Lord, who were dead in trespasses and sins in which you once walked according to the course of what? This world. According to the what? The prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. We got a lot of disobedience in this world. Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. This is Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 3 in the New King James. He's telling you, He made alive once you who were dead in trespasses and sins. All of these things, okay? So we find in verse 2, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. We find this, that the mood and the manner of society is shaped by the prince of the power of the air, which is the title for Satan as he influences globally and within each culture. This is a study note out of the New Living Bible. It's not something I come up with. As we look at this version or this verse and with the study and what he is speaking of here in number 2, verse 2, talking about walking according to the course of the world, the prince of the power, okay, the mood and the manner of society is shaped by the prince of the power of the air. That's why the whole, not just America, but the globe, the whole world is upside down. The mood and the manner of society is shaped by the prince of the power of the air, which is the same title, or which is the title for Satan, because why? He is influencing globally and within each culture. Is there a thing out there we'd hear somebody say, you know, we're fighting an enemy and we're fighting this and that, and then all of a sudden I figured out and I looked in the mirror and I found out the enemy was me. You know, our society, what's our problem in our society? Society needs to look at itself. This is the problem with society, it's you. It's the culture that's out there. We have nurtured and brought about a society out there, a culture of, I don't care, I have no feelings, I can care less. If it doesn't please me, I'm not going to do it. If I want to blow you away, I'm going to blow you away. I have no remorse. I don't care. I mean, I think I heard on the news a few weeks back, and we'll wrap this up here, but the first grade teacher or something that was shot by that student or second grade, and they were talking to this kid. He's like, what, 6 years or something like that when you're a first grader or something like that, 6, 7, 8 years? So they're talking to him, and he actually came out and said, I wanted to kill her. Did anybody hear that? I was reading some article about that as they interviewed this kid after they're trying to figure out how sad it is, 6, 7-year-old child. See how Satan has corrupted not just a 30-year-old, a 20-year-old, a 10-year-old, a 5-year-old, or you have a 6-year-old, but the corruption and the depravity of that mind has gone into that of a 6-year-old that says, when you were 6, did you ever say to somebody, like when you did something, I said, I want to kill you, really. Yeah, I play Cowboys and Indians, bang, bang, you're dead. But it was all play, and we got back up, and it was like nothing like that. And they think that I'm jaded because of my upbringing of watching those type shows. No. See, it's these shows of today that are doing all these things, but the society of today doesn't want that because they have the whole purpose of wanting to what? Change the order of what we're all about. I could not, and I thought when that child, 6-year-old boy, said I want to kill her. I just want to kill her. I'm thinking, what do you do with that child now? Hopefully, is there some kind of retooling, retraining? I don't know. Hopefully there is. But that's how Satan has gotten in to the very fiber of society. It's in our kids. Sad. And we as a church and all, we need to keep in prayer for all of these families. And, you know, it goes back to the homes and the single parents and all these things that's been, that's how the devil is winning these battles because, you know, marriage is very close to God. Marriage of the husband and wife, male, female, is like that of Christ, the marriage, the bride. Families, the family unity is very important to God. Well, what are the major areas that Satan has got in and just caused a mix in? Is the whole thing with marriages between a man and woman? No, it's a man and man, man and who, whatever the case is, blah, 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 blah. It's into those areas of families are being destroyed and separated. But just be aware of these things, and hopefully you are. But I don't want you to leave out on a note like it's all doom and gloom. No, because it's the better days are ahead. We sang songs today. Oh, man, the glory of the Lord. The glory of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. We'll pick up here next week and we'll see. I didn't even go to another part of Ephesians. Maybe we'll do that next week to kick off before we get to the filter. Lord, I pray that, you know, the words that I shared and the things that we've looked at as a society and that's taking place, that, Lord, we don't leave here downtrodden. It wasn't meant to do that. Your word is not to do that. Your word is to build us up. Your word is to prepare us. Your word is to fill us, Lord, so that we can know how to pray, so that we can see these things even before maybe the society really sees it, Lord, because we are aware by that of the Holy Spirit that we see change coming. We recognize it as these are things that your word has pronounced, that have been prophesied, Lord, through your word, things to come. But as children of yours, Lord, since we know what your word says and we see these things happening, we know that we can pray and that we know that there can be changes and that, Lord, you can come in and that you can make a difference. Amen. And that things that are happening, Lord, we're not going to give up. We're not just going to throw in the towel and throw our hands up and say, well, what's the purpose or what's the use? We are here for a divine purpose that you have placed all of us here to pray for our nation, to pray for our state, to pray for our city, to pray for our families, Lord, to pray whatever it is, to pray, 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 to pray for the things in the world. Let us never take prayer as something that's, it's haphazard, no big deal. Prayer is a very mighty force. Prayer is something that will turn a generation, that will change the course of many things in life, Father God, as we just pray for your divine will and expressed will to be accomplished. And so, Lord, we're not giving up. We know that the better times and better days are ahead for us as a child of God, and that you're there to take care of us, and that you're there, Father God. And we love you, and we praise you for it. But Lord, let us take to heart these things that are coming across our path. We're not giving up. It just charges us up even more to see how it's happening and that we're going to step up. I pray, Lord, that each of us today and the days ahead, we will step up and pray into these areas, Father, for change in the areas that need to be changed, for human sanity to come back, Lord, for your wisdom to come upon this nation and leaders, Lord God. There are so many things that need to be done, but Lord, you can do it, and you can make it a quick work. But Lord, we know your word says these days are coming, but we just need to stay in prayer. And I thank you, Lord, for always being with us. I thank you, Father, for your encouragement. I thank you that we can walk out of here in joy and strength, Father God, and that we walk out of here, in the glory of the Lord. Surround us, Lord. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.